You're listening to Local Matters, an Indiana-owned podcast. I'm your host, Mel McMahon, and to say we've been busy around here is an understatement. This week alone, we were at JA Job Sparks at the Indiana State Fairgrounds. I'll tell you more about that another time. We were also in Bloomington at the Name, Image, Likeness event. It's the first opportunity that college athletes have to team up with local companies to promote what they're doing. And we are building a new website thanks to our franchise friends at Jiffy Lube of Indiana. And Indiana Gifts has some amazing opportunities coming up. So we've had quite a few meetings about that. All of that is to say, you know what? Scheduling just didn't work out for a new episode this week. And instead of stressing about it, I thought I would share one of my favorite episodes. If you have followed me for a while, you know my radio background, you know I've known Pat Sullivan of Sullivan Hardware and Garden for quite a long time, and we're still on the air together all day for the WIBC Radiothon for the Salvation Army. And Pat is one of the most inspirational business owners. He's taken hardware stores and turned them into lifestyle stores. I just had lunch at his hardware store again last week. Oh, and when I was up north, I got a lemonade at the bistro while I was walking around looking at Halloween decorations. And don't forget, the Sullivan Express with nonstop service to Pumpkin Town has arrived at Allisonville Home and Garden by Sullivan. Tickets are available now at sullivanhardware.com. And Pat will share his story more about how he took over the family business and really turned it into something for the community. So please enjoy this classic episode and keep up on all things local at indianaowned.com. Oh, and when I say classic episode, I mean this is from October of 2020. So you'll still hear the name Indiana Originals. You'll still hear the website indianaoriginals.com. And Indiana Gifts was known as indiana.gifts. So just do some translation in your head. At the end of the episode, we talk about the WIBC Radiothon for the Salvation Army. We still do this event together. Last year, a new record, $426,000 in 36 hours. And if you want to be a part of Radiothon this year, get a hold of me, mel@indianaowned.com. I hope you enjoy this episode. It's one of my absolute favorites.
Hi, I'm Lance.
And I'm Mel.
In the spring of 2012, we were walking around downtown Indianapolis. We were looking for someplace local for dinner. We threw out a restaurant name and Mel asked,
"Is it local?"
That simple question became a much bigger conversation and our company, Indiana Originals, was born.
Every Indiana Originals member is certified local. That means the business is an Indiana-owned and operated company, headquartered here and not part of an out-of-state chain. When you discover and support a business on our website or on our app, you are keeping more money in Indiana, helping our communities be unique, and creating jobs.
If you spent 5% more on goods and services from Indiana, we would have $1.8 billion more dollars for our schools and infrastructure. So when you break it down, that's just $35 per household per week. When you see the Indiana Originals badge, you know you are supporting local Indiana businesses.
Download our app powered by B&W Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Drains, and get your business certified local at indianaoriginals.com. Indiana Originals, leading local living.
Local Matters brings you incredible stories about Indiana original businesses making a positive impact in Indiana and the entrepreneurs leading the way. I'm Mel McMahon, and today we will get the story of how Pat Sullivan started Sullivan Hardware and Garden and Allisonville Home and Garden by Sullivan. And we'll talk about these lifestyle stores and how he can have four businesses that are all completely different. We'll go over the challenges and the successes along the way and why supporting local businesses really matters.
You're listening to Local Matters, brought to you by Indiana Originals, leading local living.
Pat Sullivan, Sullivan Hardware and Garden, Allisonville Home and Garden by Sullivan. Thank you so much for being our guest today on Local Matters.
Mel, thank you very much for having me in.
It is great to have you on the other side of the microphone. No, there's no lunch today. COVID. We'll blame COVID.
Okay.
I'm trying to think back of when we first met, which is probably, it's got to be over a decade by now.
Oh, definitely.
And so much has changed at your stores since we first met.
Yeah, it really has.
So when we first met, you had the three locations, 49th and Penn, 71st and Keystone,
yep,
and in Cicero.
Yes.
Now you have a fourth location.
But you know what? And along the way things go, we had a store in Brownsburg at one time, and we also had a store at 71st and Binford at one time.
I did not know that.
Yeah, well, it's a little secret.
Have you always wanted to be in the hardware business?
Yeah. I mean, I grew up in the hardware business. My father started our store in 1954, and so, I mean, that's what I've always done. I mean, I was, and I purchased the original location. My father opened a store downtown on East Washington Street. And then in 1963, that was in 54, 1963, he moved around the corner to 71st and Keystone.
Was there ever a time that you didn't want to take over the business?
No.
Always going to be?
Always was going to be. I wasn't a smart child, no.
No?
No.
This was it? This was your opportunity?
This was it. We moved up to 71st and Keystone when Keystone dead-ended at 96th Street. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
Big visions back then.
Yeah. We sold.
Sure.
You know, my first job was sorting nightcrawler worms, because we would buy worms in 500 to a box. And then my job was, we had these Chinese takeout things, and you put a little moss in there and you'd count the worms, 1 dozen, 2 dozen, 3 dozen. To this day, I don't get Chinese takeout. True story.
Are you still sorting worms, or are you doing other things these days?
I am doing other things.
What is the big vision now?
You know what? The way the – here's kind of where we were. So in the we were a good, solid hardware store, and then we started opening up some smaller other stores. In 92, we opened up a store on Binford, and then we opened a store 49th and Penn. And then – so we had these – you know, had the vision of these stores coming along. Well, then along comes box stores. Now, there was big stores. You're too young to remember a store named Central Hardware, but it was really a small regional chain. Well, then the big guys came. So, you know, the Home Depot, the Lowe's was here first, Home Depot. And, you know, you started to see the writing. It was harder to be a pure hardware store. It's almost like, you know, and I felt that we needed to be known for something. So in the early, so when was it, 2002, you know, right around the turn of the, once we survived Y2K,
mm-hmm.
I started thinking I could just feel something is different. Now, our seasonal business was really strong, and that was kind of carrying us. But it was, we had a Lowe's just down the street from our Keystone location. We had another Lowe's over on Shadeland that was close to our Binford location. And so I started having these ideas of, what could we do better than them? What if we could pick a few things? And that's kind of how we designed. And that's how, so when we decided to build this big store, big for us, at 71st and Keystone, that's why we closed the Binford store, because it was just within 3 miles.
Mm-hmm.
We had two stores within 3 miles. That wasn't very smart, was it? But it worked for a number of years. But when we built this big store, we knew it would overshadow that, so we went ahead and closed that store at that time. But we wanted to be the very best at mid-priced patio furniture, and of course, we wanted to be a good basic hardware store. We wanted to be a leader in green goods, which we already did. We had a nice selection of hanging baskets and all the bedding plants and perennials and stuff like that. We wanted to be a leader in fireplaces, and then in grills and barbecue.
So you picked out kind of these lifestyle elements,
not
just
things.
The hardware store.
Right. I would tell you that don't come looking for a power tool at our store. That's just not what we do. You know, do we have a kitchen faucet? Yeah, we have a few kitchen faucets. But if you want to see 600 feet of them, go to a box store.
Right.
So we decided that's what we wanted to do. And of those five things that we targeted, we only failed at fireplaces. It just didn't work.
Why do you think that was?
I don't know. We had this great working display. We had, maybe it was because it made the store too hot. We had 9 working fireplaces. When you had them on, there was like an inferno in there.
Yeah.
So I don't know why. And I guess really now when I think about it, when was the last time I had my gas logs changed at home? You just get them and you don't really.
Yeah, it's not really our version of capitalism anymore.
Did I mention Christmas trees? I didn't. That was one of the things, artificial Christmas trees.
We haven't gotten there yet. I have lots of questions about Christmas for you.
Yeah, one of these things. So is that 6 things or did I count wrong? I may have counted wrong.
You know, I wasn't counting either, so I'm not worried about it. I have other people who count for me.
I'm concerned.
I don't know about you, but I have other people who count for me.
Yeah.
How old were you when you took over the stores?
29.
29. Did you feel ready?
Yes, I'd been running the store. Remember, I went to college. I went to IU. Just for 4 days, the best 4 days of my life, I can tell you that. Actually, I was down there, it was 4 days of class. Actually, you know, quite honestly, I used to say, because you always try to make yourself a little bigger than you are, I used to tell people I went to college for 2 weeks.
Oh.
And then when I really thought about it, it was just a week. And then, you know what, I had a cousin who was with me at IU at the time, and he called me and he said, because it was printed in a magazine article, that story. Mm-hmm. He goes, "You idiot." He goes, "Grandpa Hughes died that week. You only went to school for 3 days because we had to go home for the funeral."
Yeah, I had to go home.
And I thought, my gosh, he's right. I only went for 3 days. So once I got college out of the way, and again, it was the best week of my life. I was young for my class. So I had just turned 18 and got back to work, you know. So I had already been kind of managing the store somewhat in high school. And I bought a house when I was 18, started, had a rental. I don't know.
Were you always kind of a rule breaker? You know, we're called rule breakers.
Yes, I am a ask for forgiveness person, because this city wouldn't be what it is if people, because, you know, there's somebody always willing to, I mean, the default setting of government so much is no. So sometimes you just have to work arounds. And so I always appreciate if I run into utility, I had a good experience with IPL, and their default setting was yes, how can we make this work for you? And I appreciate that, because most times the default setting is no. So then I just ask for forgiveness. I go, sorry.
Is that a Catholic thing? Because I do the same thing.
Maybe a little bit.
I think maybe we're raised that way.
Yeah.
Ask
and,
for forgiveness.
You know, I just go through the drive-through confessional. Do you have a drive-through at your church? No?
We used to.
Oh, yeah. Just a drive-through. Yeah. It's like a...
especially with COVID
it's
everything's drive-through.
It's just set up like a fast food thing. There's about 12 sins, and you just order
just
them
up.
Just
go through them, say your
Sometimes
Hail Marys.
If it's bad enough, they make you pull into the space out front, and you don't get your order right there at the window. They go, hey, you need to pull up...
might take an extra.
Father's going
to
be out.
Yeah. We're going to have to pull out the big guns for this one. When you were 29, you took over the stores.
Right.
What was the reaction from the staff or the people around you? Were they okay
with it?
Because
I was already running the stores. My father was, I still remember, I was mixing a can of paint, and he came by. He goes, hey, I'm going to retire at the end of the year, and you're going to buy it. It's like, all right, I don't have any money. He goes, all right, we'll work it out. And, but I didn't really think he would retire. He was 67, and I thought, yeah, Dad, you're going to retire, sure. And, you know, by gosh, he did. He did retire.
And he completely trusted you?
Yeah, he must have. But,
good.
You know, he always thought that the last check that I gave him would be the last one he ever got. I never missed a payment. But yet he was always convinced that I'm glad I got this one, because I know you won't make another one. So, but he didn't come back to work until my mom was sick with Alzheimer's, and he needed to, you know, once she had to go to a memory care unit, and then he was a little lonely. So he came back to work when he was, I guess, about 82 or so. Yeah. Came back to work, picked right up, fired. I remember he, he never liked a salesman that came in and took their own order, because he always said, they're loading me up. And so my dad didn't walk very well, so we got him a scooter, and he came back that first day, and there was a sales guy came up. He goes, hey, there was an old man in a cart that told me that not to take an order. Is that what you want? I said, if that's what he said.
That's what he said. He still had some clout around
here.
That's
right.
Were you married at the time when you took the stores over?
Oh, yeah. I got married. Just turned 21.
And so... I mean, I've had the privilege of meeting your wife. She's absolutely lovely.
Yes.
What kind of support has she given you along the way? Because we're going to talk about some of your ideas that you've actually accomplished and pulled off really, really well, by the way.
Beth is, I don't know. I don't know why she's still, I wish you'd find a boyfriend. I feel so sorry for you. She's just wonderful. She's laid back. We had 5 kids. She was a stay-at-home mom, so she had her hands full. As a matter of fact, I can remember in one of the older stores, we were ripping out the ceiling, and we were painting it. We were dry-fogging the ceiling, and she called, and she was in labor. And it's like, you know, I was covered in paint.
I wish I had a camera so you could see the smile because he's beaming ear to ear. He knows how good he has it.
I do because we're going to be married 40 years, and for the life of me, I just think, wow.
What is her reaction when you tell her your latest idea?
She's kind of used to it now.
Okay.
So I don't know. I really don't know how to describe that. She's a wonderful person.
Well, and she's still in the store, right?
Yeah.
You see her?
Yeah.
She works in the yellow house.
She works in the yellow house. Yep.
And she's
and
always
says,
there.
Says she doesn't like it, but she loves it. And people come in and go, "Are you Pat's wife?" She goes, "Yes, I am." She goes, "He's so funny." And she goes, "Yeah, he's really funny."
You are fun. I'm going to say that. We'll talk about the funny part. You are funny, too. But you're just really fun. And you talk about these stores being lifestyle stores. And you've really taken them to a place that, I mean, I don't even think you could call it a hardware store anymore. Christmas is a big, big, big part of that.
Big part.
Turkey Fest. Slaw Fest. I mean, we could go on and on and on with the events. You now have a restaurant inside your 71st and Keystone store.
Correct.
Where does that inspiration come from?
Well, here's the thing. So here's what happened. So let's go back to 2004 when I felt like, you know, we needed to be the best at four or five things or six or whatever it is. And it's because we were competing against the box store. And that worked very well for us. And we moved down the road. Well, you know what? Here comes the internet. And so now we're trying to think ahead and trying to think, well, is this internet thing going to make it? Evidently it is. I'm not sure.
I've heard of it.
Yeah. So, but anyways, so then I'm thinking, well, how do we entertain? So when I try to come up with an idea, I always think, will people get out of their pajamas and get dressed for this? And that's kind of the metric I use because that's truly what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to get people to come play, to come in our store, to, because it's part of something. Yeah, you can buy that. Hell, you can even buy plants online. But there's part of coming in and feeling good. If you know what, some of the best comments I see on social media would be, I come to your store if I'm having a bad day, just to walk around. That makes me feel good. So, you know, so it's and trying to reach the kids, the youngsters. Last night, as a matter of fact, I was walking by the restaurant and I look in and there's a young man and his friend. They're in their 20s. He's got a bag of a can of spackle. He has paint chips and he's sitting at a table in the restaurant. He has a beer and they've ordered a brisket sandwiches. That's the perfect thing.
It's all about the experience.
Yeah. So you're creating an experience because you have to. If the modern, to me, you've got to be known for something and you have to find a way to entertain. It doesn't have to be like a circus every day, but just having something that people want to come and hang out because, you know, they can go on this inner web thing, www, and get pretty much darn near anything, you know, so.
Coming up, the challenges and successes Pat Sullivan has had along the way and what he wants you to know about starting your own business. This is Local Matters. We've been chatting with Pat Sullivan of Sullivan Hardware and Garden and Allisonville Home and Garden by Sullivan. Started doing the business basically, you know, in diapers, right? He was raised in it, took over the stores when you were 29.
Yep.
And you're still taking them over now. You have some kiddos in succession.
Yeah, we have our daughter, Becky, who was the food director at Decatur Township Schools. So we lured her away as our general manager, our son Andrew, our son Joe. So, third generation is in. And I keep telling them, I said, you know, third generation, the chance of success is only like 30%. You guys have got to step it up.
Are they okay with that?
Yeah, I think it's important to know.
Now, have they made a commitment to keep the hundreds of Christmas trees and the trains and everything else that we have going on now at Sullivan Hardware?
We get
and
a lot of questions about the train because trying to explain the train, there was a Hearth and Home magazine or something. It's a trade magazine that they were doing a feature on our store. And it took this writer was from North Carolina. It took him like a long time, but he did a fantastic job on it because it's really hard to explain what we do, you know, and especially the train was hard. And the train, the vision for the train, because I was an heirs child and we would go.
Ellis Heirs,
because
downtown.
Everyone knows that when we were kids, and I'm way, way older, we all knew, everyone knew in my generation that the real Santa was downtown.
Right.
And everything at the malls and everywhere else was just like, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Imposters.
So and they had the train down there and stuff. And so that's always stuck in my mind. And, you know, we were a big Christmas retailer. So we were doing, and again, with five kids, taking the five kids to see Santa was one of the worst days of the year because standing in line, the lines were always so long. So we started doing these things at our Keystone location, which were Santa nights, and you would come in and we had food and we had games and we had the guys at the radio station with the big voices record these. Santa will be here in 45 minutes, you know, just to get everybody jacked up.
Yeah, it's a spectacle.
But everybody got a number. So there's no standing in line, and then we would call the numbers. Well, victim of our own success, because then they got too big. So then all of a sudden I thought, you know what, this train thing. So that was right in 2014. So this is the sixth year of the Sullivan Express train. So we got these trackless trains, and it's a journey. There's a story. It's a narrated train ride, and it has evolved and gotten bigger and bigger. But the idea was you go to the North Pole, which is an outbuilding on one of our on the Keystone property, and then you get out and you see Santa, and it's you're only with three other families. You get back on the train for your excursion back. And so that was the vision. So we promoted the thing, but I'm thinking, will anyone buy a ticket to this thing? And so we're going to sell the tickets online. And that first year, we gathered around the computer because the tickets go on sale every year, November 1st at 4:00 in the afternoon. Why? We don't know. So we're gathered around, we're watching the computer screen, and right at 4:00, here they come. And we sold 89 tickets that first hour, and we were beyond thrilled. So fast forward 5 years later, we sold 1,700 tickets in the first 14 minutes last year.
1,700 tickets, yes. In the first 14 minutes.
Yes, yes.
How many trains do you have now?
Well, we have five trains now because we have we're calling the fifth one the COVID train.
Yeah.
Because like so many businesses, and that's the key for a small business too, is reworking your business to these challenges, because there is a ton of people that just cancel. We can't do it, cancel. No, we are committed to providing normalcy for our customers because that is what our community needs right now. And having canceled throw up in their face all the time. I mean, even Macy's in New York City, no Santa this year. So we've really worked this thing. We bought a fifth train. I can't tell some of the secrets of the, cause I don't like to.
Can you give us one secret?
No.
One?
No.
Just one, Pat?
No.
I'm batting my eyelashes right now. It's not working.
So obviously when you take a train to the North Pole, you're coming in and the people were at the North Pole, they're loading back on the same train. So you're going into a building someone just left and getting on a train that somebody just left. So we realized that COVID, that doesn't make people feel very comfortable. So
yeah.
Now you'll get on a sterilized train, you go to the North Pole, that train's going to stay with you. So when my trains are sitting for 15 minutes at a time, you need another train.
Mm-hmm.
Once you leave, the North Pole is empty for 7.5 minutes while it's sterilized. We have UV air cleaners and all in the North Pole.
Yes. Very fancy.
See, I almost slipped there. I almost slipped with a secret.
Ooh.
So in the North Pole.
So I want to try to put this in perspective for people who maybe haven't had the fortune to go to Sullivan Hardware and Garden at 71st and Keystone yet. You started with just kind of that one building close to the corner with,
right.
I don't know, five parking spots.
Yep.
But over the years, you keep expanding.
Yes.
Talk about your strategy for that.
Well, it's like a little game of Monopoly in real life. We just kept buying up properties. Now, what is our yellow house, which is our gift shop that sits in the middle of the garden center. My father bought that piece of property in 1973. So we used to be catty corner on the other side. So we were always trying to expand even back then. And then so we just continued to buy in properties on Keystone Avenue. And then I started buying properties on the street over.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I would kind of like cheat and I would like, so I was the street that backed up to our Keystone property, I would kind of move the fence back, you know, 20, 30 foot. They were big backyards, Mel, and I would just move the fence back. And then finally some zoning, what do they call them? Code enforcement guy came by and he just laughed and he goes, "What in the hell have you done here?" I said, "Surprise!
This is the forgiveness part."
That's right.
Right?
That's right. And the city was wonderful. They actually were, because they looked at us, they go, yeah, you legacy businesses, you're kind of hard to deal with. So, but they really came up with some great solutions. But had I just said, hey, this is what I want to do, they would have gone, no. So sometimes you have to kind of push the envelope a little bit. And it's the best thing for the neighborhood. It really is. I mean, having vibrant businesses in our commercial nodes is the best thing for our single family homes and all the residents. So having businesses that are falling apart is not healthy.
Well, and that's not just Pat Sullivan saying that. I mean, there's actual research that states, you know, there's a direct link between the health and wellness, both physically and mentally, of the residents of a community and the number of small businesses that they can walk to, right? Because it's not just jobs, but it's access to services, right? And if somebody wants to get a meal, they can do that at your place. They want to buy Christmas tree, they can do that at your place.
That's right.
Right?
And just having a vibrant business, I mean, that's what concerns me for the future. It concerns me, what will our commercial nodes look like in 10 years, 20 years, 30 years? Will there be enough entrepreneurs to redevelop and reimagine what retail and other businesses are going to and take those properties up? Or are we going to be sitting at home in our pajamas ordering everything and we're going to have blighted street corners and blighted shopping nodes? And that's concerning to me.
Well, and it goes in waves, right? You know, like you have a resurgence. You know, when I first started Indiana Originals, people looked at me like I was crazy. They're like, what do you mean? Like, who cares about small businesses and local businesses? And I'm like, trust me, they're important.
They're very important.
And now here we are in COVID and people are like, oh, that's what she's been talking about.
Right.
So what's been the biggest challenge for you these last few months? You know, cause especially being such an experience oriented store in all of your locations.
Right. It's just been hard. I mean, when the COVID, as we like to call it, the COVID came around, we lost 66% of our staff because we are made up of, we have a lot of high school kids. We have a lot of retired people that are, you know, in their 60s and beyond. And they were out. And then I get it. Parents go, you know what, I think Jimmy's going to stay home.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it was really hard. And matter of fact, I told Beth, my lovely wife of 40 years, who doesn't think I'm funny. No, she's just over me. But I said, if this was our business model moving forward, I'm out of here, because it was hard.
Mm-hmm.
We did it, but it was hard, and it was people are on edge. We were yelled at more in that first couple months than we had been in 65 years.
You know, just by customers or the community or what?
Customers, because everybody was on edge, and we were being overwhelmed. I mean, we're having to change our business model right in the middle of, you know, we were coming to the store and all of a sudden we were making 75 deliveries a day and then doing another 50 to 75 curbside pickups.
Wow.
And so it was a nightmare for us. We ain't Amazon, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have them conveyor belts rolling around.
Right.
So, and then what we're, and I mean, we had two full-time shoppers in the garden center that would FaceTime people. How about this plant? How about this plant? And so it was really, it was hard. It was hard.
And what kept you going?
What kept me going was...
besides a bank loan you need to pay off.
I was
going to
say about $10, $12 million in debt. You know, and we had just spent a bundle on a new business that had to close because they weren't deemed essential. That was probably the government not thinking things through. And again, credit them. None of us had experience, and they had what was an essential business. Hardware stores were essential. Well, we could stay open at Keystone. Allisonville Home and Garden by Sullivan, which we had just purchased a few weeks earlier, they had to close.
Oh, because they weren't seen at the hardware store.
Because they weren't seen as a hardware. And then it wasn't, the government didn't quite figure out, this isn't really fair because Home Depot and Lowe's, the garden centers are open over there.
Uh-huh.
And this business is having to stay closed. And it should have always, looking back now, I think the government realized, it should have always been by 1,000 square foot. How big is your, you know, you can allow this many people per 1,000 square foot in your business. And that's the way it should have been done. You know, like they close furniture stores because gosh knows there's a ton of people in a furniture store. You go in a furniture store and there's just a few people and it's a couple hundred thousand square foot.
Right.
I drove by Kittles all the time. It's like, why the hell are they closed?
Yeah, their store is 4 acres big.
I know. So it just wasn't thought out. But that's not criticism because you know, everyone was trying to do the best they could.
Right. And none of us knew.
But even then, you know, the asking for forgiveness. Mm-hmm. So we had to close Allisonville Nursery. But, you know, we are a nursery. We just left it open on the outside. And if somebody strolled in and bought a tree, it's like, that's what happens.
It happens. Speaking of trees.
Yep.
How many Christmas trees do you have on display?
We have about 170 different artificial trees. So we feel like we are the largest selection of artificial trees, certainly in the state of Indiana, possibly the world.
Wow.
I don't really know the world part, but because we own that business. And it is something that the box stores don't want to deal with it because trees are, they're kind of finicky, right? I mean, so we have service. You buy a tree from us, we have top of the line trees. We'll take care of it. Once it's out of warranty, we still take care of it. Don't want to set it up yourself? We'll come out and set it up for you. You decorate it. You undecorate it. We pick it up. We store it for you.
That was going to be my next question. Oh. Because right now my tree is in two bags at the front of where I park my car in the garage. I'm not sure it survived the move. So we're going to have to talk about that.
Because
that
go.
Is definitely a big challenge. But it seems like you are the kind of person, you know, you have a solution for everything. Right? Like impossible is not in your vocabulary.
No, we try to do it. I mean, we try to figure it out. I mean, we have reimagined so many events. I mean, our big events, Egg Fest is like 1,500 people. That was in August. Well, you can't have 1,500 people. So we changed it and did it over three nights. And we allowed, I think, 200 tickets. And we added some value because we had to raise the price. So we had food stations. We brought in a sketch comedy. Dave Wilson was there. We brought in a sketch comedy troupe. And it worked out. Matter of fact, it worked so well that I think we'll actually have that event again next year. Same thing with Ladies Night. Ladies Night is a brawl. Have you ever been to Ladies Night?
I haven't.
And ladies get around without the hubbies and boyfriends and spouses. It's like, and so that's an event would draw 500-600 ladies. So we broke that down into two nights. Two nights, 250 ladies each night. And it was outside. So we were trying to do everything we could to create normal events for our customers, our neighbors, but yet keep everybody safe.
Well, another event we have coming up is the WIBC Radiothon for the Salvation Army. 26th anniversary.
Is it really?
We brought it
out. I've been there for 25 of them.
Right.
Yep.
It's insane. I feel like I've been there for all of them.
Yep.
Not quite.
Lafayette Square
Half
Mall.
Of them.
Lafayette Square Mall. It used to be all about... It's kind of funny how it's evolved because at first it was just about people getting stuff. And then we realized this should be about the cause. This should be about the works of the Salvation Army. But, I mean, that first year, Lafayette, Chris Gardocki, remember who he was?
Yeah.
The punter for the Colts. We were, like, selling his shoe. That's what, like, how much will you give
money.
Me for Gardocki's shoe? And so that's how we did it.
Well, we've definitely come a long way.
Yes, we
and
have.
Thank you so much for hosting the Radiothon at Sullivan's last year. I mean, the atmosphere, I'll tell you what, to describe how beautiful Sullivan Hardware and Garden is at Christmas, people actually take their family photos for their Christmas cards in the store.
They do.
I see them all the time now. I may have done that last year myself, just throwing that out there. But it was with a cell phone, not a professional photographer.
No,
but it still worked.
People do, and they're more than welcome.
But the atmosphere, the festivity. I mean, we raised over $316,000 last year in 36 hours. And just FYI, Salvation Army expects us to do that again this year.
Of course they do.
So we've got a lot of work to do. But giving to charity is, I mean, it's such a big part of your heart. You do a lot for the Alzheimer's Foundation.
Yep.
You talk about that. Talk about giving.
You know, it's part of being part of the community, isn't it? I mean, that's, you know, and sometimes it's like my mother suffered from Alzheimer's, which is just a horrendous, horrible thing. And so we want to kind of do something. And my sister, I have five sisters. Thank goodness. If you ever have a loved one with memory care issues and you have five sisters and they all live in Indianapolis, you are blessed. So... But after she passed away, so they have this, you know, the longest day events. So we thought, you know, let's do that. And it just has grown and grown. And that's been a really cool event. We're very supportive of the Seeds of Hope, which is a small started by my cousin, Father Glenn O'Connor. Just for women, taking in women out of horrible situations and drug abuse and alcohol abuse and stuff. So we've really tried to support them. And of course, Salvation Army.
Well, our communities can't thrive without business owners like you. And it really does truly you know, make a difference. What advice would you give someone who is thinking about starting their own business? Or what's something you always keep top of mind that you want other business owners to know?
You know what? I don't know. So first of all, so starting your own business, does it feel good in the morning when you get up? Because that's the dark time. So if you feel good about it in the morning, then you're on to something. Sometimes I'll tell business owners that want to, you know, they haven't maybe, they're ready to move on to another location. And I feel like we haven't really fully blown out what you have here. I always say lay down until the feeling passes. So, but not being afraid, you know, and then just work your tail off. And be, if small business owner to me, it's your face. It's your name. People are like shocked when I'm loading cow manure into their car, but I work on the floor. Yes, I do a lot of different things. And I could sit up in the office and never touch. But you know what? The way I lead my employees is they know, every high school kid knows that I will do the exact same work that I ask them to do. And so, and matter of fact, every high school kid, it's hard for high school kids that are 15. Is that the legal age?
Yes.
So let's not talk about the 14-year-olds.
Forgiveness.
So the 15-year-olds, they all call me Pat. I insist that they call me Pat for two reasons. One, we're coworkers. And two, Mr. Sullivan is too many syllables, and I'll waste my life with these 15-year-olds. So they call me Pat. And that's because we're coworkers. And but they know that anything I ask them to do, I am willing. I'm right there with them.
Something I've always admired about you, besides the fact that you basically give me forgiveness for everything that I rope you into doing for charities.
You are something.
But I'll never forget, you know, Radiothon last year particularly stuck out to me. We were on the air, was it 12 hours that day? Probably.
Yeah, we were
live together all day Saturday.
Yep.
And, you know, we just set a new record and there were celebrations and everybody's going crazy. And
I
we
think
clear
you burst
things
into
out.
Tears.
I did. I cried at 11:06 a.m. that morning because we got a $10,000 donation over the phone.
Yeah.
Unplanned, unexpected. I'm kind of tearing up thinking about it now.
Right.
But then we did hit a new record.
We
did. We've never raised over $270,000 was the record before that.
Yeah. And I was always the one pushing it because I would like, we got to move forward with this thing.
Yeah,
so
that motivation is always there. It was spectacular. If you want to join us for Radiothon this year, you know, get a hold of Pat, get a hold of me. We have a lot of work to do.
Now, we have added on. You haven't been to the Keystone.
I haven't been there yet.
So we have added on 2,000, because I was, and you don't know this, but I was close. And I try never to do this because it's almost superstitious to, you know, something that is a cause that's close to us. But our facility was getting so tight, it was getting harder and harder every year to squeeze in the space for the Radiothon. So now we have added on 3,000 square foot of greenhouse. So now we are set up for the next 25 years.
Well, one of the advantages we had last year was we actually moved Radiothon a week later. So you had cleared out some Christmas inventory and we had a little bit extra space.
Yeah, and it was still tough. So I'm thrilled to have this new space.
I can't wait. Really. And you know, we had this amazing, incredible fundraising day. And oh my gosh, so many kids got Christmas presents. We had people out shopping for gifts through Angel Tree. And I'm getting ready to walk out of the store. And I walked up to you to say goodbye and you were sweeping up popcorn.
Somebody's got to do it.
And that was a moment for me as a business owner where I really truly learned a lesson there. Right? Because if you want people to be inspired by you, if you want them to understand your dream and your vision and be a part of it, you have to be doing what they are also doing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then the fun stuff comes along too, but it's like, I'm just a believer that if you want the respect, if you want to be big boss and boss everyone around, that's fine. But it's at the end, you know, your people, I mean, my staff, they're awesome and they will do. I mean, they go way above because they're a part of it. They know. And it's never my, it's always our, it's our business.
Right.
So it's our business, even down to the high school kid.
I say we all the time, and it's me and the mouse in my pocket, right?
Right.
But it's we, right? It's ours. Yep. It's us. And, you know, Pat, you and I, we could talk all day. We have talked all day together many times now. Radiothon coming up. We need to prepare for that as well. But I want to know, before I let you go, why does supporting local and being known as an Indiana original matter to you?
Because it's our community. It's our community. It's if we all, you know, take the easy, sometimes, yeah, okay. So sometimes it's harder to maybe to do business, you know, with a local company, but it's certainly more fulfilling. I needed blinds. I needed some 2-inch blinds for a building. I can't tell you the secret, but I needed these blinds. Just say I needed these blinds. Well, you know what? Yeah, I could go to Blindster or Blind this or Blind that on the internet, but you know, I can also go to Tim McLaughlin at MCL. And you know what? Tim drove over and did all the measuring and got me the blinds because they're a local family. That's, I mean, you support your community. And that's what is concerning to me is funding for schools, because it all is coming from commercial. And if our commercial nodes collapse, not only is it going to damage our neighborhoods, but it's also, it's going to, I mean, everyone's going to be paying more because I don't think people realize how much businesses pay in property taxes. And I'll throw that number out. You know, everyone goes, well, you know, it's only going to raise your taxes by, you know, $120. We pay $100,000 a year at our Keystone location. So, and that's fine, because I know that goes to our school systems. It goes to law enforcement, but it's like, we need to support each other. So,
well, that's exactly what Indiana Originals is all about. So besides IndianaOriginals.com and our app, how can people find out more information about you and find your stores?
You know what? You can go to SullivanHardware.com. You can call me on my cell phone, 317-696-1087, if you want to chat.
He'll answer it,
text
too.
Text me.
We've had to pause many times during this podcast so he can answer the phone. Pat Sullivan, thank you so much for being our guest today on Local Matters. And thank you for doing your part to create healthier, stronger communities.
Well,
and
Mel,
more jobs
thanks
in
for
Indiana.
Inviting me. I kind of thought there'd be lunch, but I guess I'll go get something now from a local company.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Good. Thank you. And thank you for listening to Local Matters, made possible by Indiana Originals and McFarling Foods. It's an honor to bring you incredible stories about Indiana Original businesses making a positive impact in Indiana and the entrepreneurs leading the way. Learn more about why Local Matters at IndianaOriginals.com and on our app powered by B&W Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Drains. I'm Mel McMahon, and until next time, keep supporting local.
Thanks for listening to Local Matters, brought to you by Indiana Originals, distributed by the All Indiana Podcast Network. I'm going back to Indiana. Download the Indiana Originals app, powered by B&W Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Drains. And check out IndianaOriginals.com.